1894 brings us to the lovely little church at Marlfield in Clonmel Union. It's a church which, up its lovely tree-lined avenue, is actually only needed and used for Church of Ireland services very occasionally. Usually on the fifth Sunday of the month, I've enjoyed several happy visits there. But the custom has been that it's been very much available to the local Roman Catholic Church, as it's very conveniently placed for their worship. We don't need it a lot of the time, and so it's been a place of happy ecumenical hospitality and of the sharing of space. And perhaps as we pray for people there of all traditions and for the sharing that goes on and has done over the years, perhaps it's a good positive prayer to begin with, as I now recall an incident in 1894 that probably at the time had some negative ecumenical connotations, although it all turned out well for the Church of Ireland in the end. In 1894, Archbishop Plunkett of Dublin, along with a couple of his Episcopal colleagues, went to Spain to consecrate a bishop for the Spanish Reformed Episcopal Church, as it came to be known. It takes three other bishops to consecrate a new bishop, so that's the group that went to do it. And why did this happen? It was because there was really a little Protestant minority in Spain which wanted to organise itself within the Reformed tradition, but also to cherish an ancient liturgy to which it was very devoted, and wanted to reform itself in the context of also being, rather like the Church of Ireland, Episcopal. It wanted to be part of a bigger picture and to have the gift of episcopacy in terms of its oversight and apostolic continuity. So they looked for other Anglicans to consecrate a bishop for them. The Archbishop of Canterbury wasn't one bit keen on doing it himself or allowing anybody else to do it. I think there were certain voices, particularly in England, which was afraid of the Roman Catholic reaction, even in pre-ecumenical days. The goal, particularly of high church people in England, was that Rome would come to think that the Church of England was the true Catholic Church in England, and therefore they didn't want, as it were, to offend what might be regarded as the true Catholic Church in Spain by going and consecrating an alternative line of episcopal succession. So, in fact, regardless of the views of Canterbury, the Irish went and did it. They may have been criticised, they displayed considerable independent-mindedness. There were even high church Anglicans in England who felt they should apologise to the Cardinal of Toledo over the behaviour of Irish colleagues. But connections continued for many years unto this day, special connections between the Reformed Episcopal churches, which are indigenous churches using Spanish and Portuguese and traditional liturgies in those countries, but traditional deep links continued between the Church of Ireland and the Reformed Episcopal churches of the Iberian Peninsula. And Irish bishops often became involved in synods and events there, sometimes went to Portugal to conduct things like confirmations when it hadn't a bishop of its own yet. And even when recently I paid a visit to the Synod of the Portuguese Reformed Episcopal Church, I was warmly welcomed as representing the generosity to them, the empathy with them of the Church of Ireland, which they regarded so much as a parent and a friend. It's hard for us to take in, until we visit, the sense of the debt and gratitude of those small, now officially Anglican churches in Spain and Portugal to the Church of Ireland going back to the events of the 1890s. And now that the UK has left the EU, in many ways, it's the Church of Ireland, along with those two little churches in Spain and Portugal, which represent what I might call a shared indigenous Anglican witness in terms of Christian citizenship within the nations of the European Union.